predicted on which slasher might win in a fight to the death. For us, it was all about the particulars. Is this human Jason or zombie Jason? Can Freddy turn into that snake creature from Dream Warriors? Is Jason using his machete or that weed whacker thing from New Blood? Is this reality Freddy or dreamscape Freddy? And who gets home field advantage? Your mileage may vary, but I had a fantastic time with Freddy vs. Jason. In fact, I went to see it opening weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There was just so much to like. Robert Englund was back and still at the top of his Freddy game. The Titans didn't just fight once, but multiple times. They even stole each other's signature weapons to use in battle. We had the return of Mrs. Voorhees, sort of, and got a brief look at the Springwood slasher era Freddy. This movie took us back to Elm Street and Camp Crystal Lake. Of course, it majorly sucked that Kane Hodder wasn't playing Jason, but I thought the new guy did a terrific job. There was also the joyous thrill of finally seeing one of these movies on the big screen, which was a far cry from watching edited versions taped off late-night cable. We horror fans are an awfully curious bunch. It's not enough simply to watch and enjoy these movies. We want to know how they're made. We want to learn about the mythologies. We want to see shooting scripts, work prints, and deleted scenes. Most of you listening to this can probably remember a time before the internet when it wasn't so easy to read up on your favourite scary movies. The best you could hope for growing up was finding back issues of Fangoria or Gorezone. Having said that, getting a two-disc Platinum Edition DVD of Freddy vs. Jason was a huge thrill. Suddenly, we had filmmaker commentaries, featurettes, deleted scenes, and storyboards. What more could there possibly be to say on the subject of Freddy vs. Jason? Quite a lot, it turns out. First came Peter Brackey's lavish Crystal Lake Memories, The Complete History of Friday the 13th coffee table book in 2006. Then came Daniel Foran's His Name is Jason, 30 Years of Friday the 13th documentary in 2009. Foran's teamed up with co-director Andrew Cash to give us the Never Sleep Again, The Elm Street legacy the following year, and later wildly outdid himself with the eponymous documentary adaptation of Brackey's book in 2013. What a glorious time to be a horror fan with these incredible resources at our disposal. I first learned of Freddy vs. Jason's troubled development in the pages of Fangoria magazine. The article was by future Sharknado director Anthony C. Ferrante. As it turned out, New Line Cinema had spent nearly a decade trying to find the right screenplay for the crossover. That revelation stunned me. 10 years? Let's not kid ourselves, the Godfather this wasn't. This was a fun popcorn movie, a rompy slasher throwdown. Nothing about the film suggested it should have taken so long to develop. The books and documentaries I mentioned would shed further light on the subject, even including interviews with some of the original writers. This was all fascinating, but it wasn't the whole story. It was just enough to make me even more curious. So I began researching Freddy vs. Jason's history, and immediately found a handful of unused screenplays online, and several more available offline. These were intriguing reads, all wildly different from the 2003 film. I thought to myself, there might be an interesting what-if book in all of these unused drafts. Reaching out to screenwriters only led me further down the rabbit hole to additional drafts and conspirators. And here we are. Contained within this book is a story of Freddy vs. Jason's 10-year journey from script to screen. I'd like to think it's a fairly balanced account with perspectives from both Freddy and Jason camps. Why was it so difficult finding the right script for this movie? In large part, the answer is because of those three words. Freddy vs. Jason. They conjure up vastly different images in our minds. My vision for what the film should be and your own vision may be nothing alike. This was certainly the case for dozens of attached executives, producers, screenwriters, and directors throughout the years. To complicate matters further, this was the project with split creative control. No one person ever had the clout to force it into production. In retrospect, it's almost a miracle that Freddy vs. Jason was ever made. Most of the previous ideas had been terrible. The fans would scream in agony if they heard them. Executive producer Stokely Chaffin from the Los Angeles Times, 2nd of September 2003. With all due respect to Stokely, I can't say I agree with that, or else I might have titled my book Slash of the Titans, the most shit ideas you'll be glad they didn't use. While there were a few groan-worthy moments among the unused drafts, they contain even more strokes of brilliance. Ideas so rich that they could easily spin off into their own Friday and Nightmare entries. One huge difference between the 2003 film script and the preceding drafts involves creative risk.